tonight we're going to see, I think, a heck of a convention. Welcome to the show, folks. You're listening to the American Adversaries. That's right. It is drive time, prime time, right here on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer. I am Christopher Hart in the studio with me today. He's going to be here for a good part of the show, a good hunk of the show, and he's a good hunk of a man. And, of course, that'd be Grant Malloy. How you doing, Grant?
Doing great, Chris. Bless your heart. You're so nice to me. I appreciate that.
He's going to be out pounding the pavement tonight, talking to voters here in Seminole County, but he's going to talk to all y'all and me first. And Jeff, because Jeff Sinis is on the bridge tonight. 407-774-8255 is the number if you want to be a part of the show. And we got a lot to talk about tonight. We are going to talk about the three and possibly, I hope not, four, but evidently there is a police officer on life support in Baton Rouge because of the assassinations that occurred yesterday morning. We talked about it a bit on the show last night. And I had not seen the president's comments because I was on the way to the studio to do the show last night. But I did see those comments today, and I'll be commenting on those comments later on in the show because let's just say the president once again has let down the nation and people in the hood more than anybody else, if you ask me. Anyway, we got a lot going on. The convention, of course, has officially kicked off. It did at 1 p.m. today, and it so far is going along fairly smoothly. There was one last attempt to derail the Trump train. It appears to have also failed, but it appears also that the Never Trumpers are going to be Never Trumpers right up to the finish, right up to the end. But that's their prerogative. This is America. And at the end of the day, though, it will be Trump getting the nomination, and Mike Pence will be his vice president. And a good longtime dear friend of myself and Grant, too, has just joined us in the studio, Roger Franklin Williams. How you doing, Roger?
Hey, Chris. Grant.
Hey, Roger.
Good to see you. Good to see you. And, of course, Roger is one of our colleagues here at the Salem Media Group. He has his own radio show, and he does a great job. A political analyst he is himself. And good to have you in the studio today. You excited?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's exciting times in America, absolutely, and some of the most important times, literally, of my lifetime. And the problems we're beginning to confront now, serious divisions in the country, resulting in violence. These are things that we're going to determine whether we're going to continue to exist, as a free country, or whether we're going to disintegrate.
It's almost bizarre in a way out there, because as I'm talking to voters, I mean, it is virtually 100%. Are very frustrated with what's going on in our country. And whether they like Trump or don't like Trump, there's this frustration that Republicans aren't stepping up to the plate and really leading and fighting for the traditional American values, or fighting this $20 trillion in debt. I haven't run in 12 years, but I've never seen as much frustration. And I can understand it. I mean, it is frustrating, but
it's very understandable, yeah. Absolutely, because we call the show the American Adversaries because we have an adversarial form of government. For that form of government to work, however, you have to have actual honest-to-God adversaries, right?
Right.
And when one side is going to roll over and let the other side pretty much do what they want, the system begins to break down. And people feel disaffected. They feel disillusioned. They feel frustrated. And they want remedies. Or they begin to just check out. And that's the last thing we want to see happen. But we do have a chance this time around to really make some radical statements, if you will, as voters, and demanding radical change. And I guess we got as good a chance as ever, Roger, right?
To pull this off? I'm very excited about Donald Trump and his candidacy. That's one of the things, the great mysteries of mine, is how many people on the conservative side of things, not just Republicans, not just rhinos, not just establishment Republicans, but people that have some, bona fide conservative credentials and, legitimate conservative constitutionalist beliefs,
right,
are so frightened anti-Trump. I've got friends in that camp, and I just absolutely do not understand it. I mean, when you measure, yeah, sure, I guess Trump doesn't pass some rigid litmus test of being, you know, taking the quote conservative position on 25 different issues or something, but this isn't about litmus tests. This is about saving the country, and he's definitely not a cultural leftist. And in my book, that puts him, that makes me excited about him right there.
You know, you're absolutely right, and I've been saying on this show for a year. Over a year now since he got into the race, that this primary and now the general election is going to turn on who people perceive can solve these massive problems that we have, right? And that ideology is going to take a bit of a back seat. And I think that's exactly what we've seen happen.
But even he's on the opposite. He's on the right side of all the big all the big issues.
He is.
Maybe farm subsidy policy might be a little lacking, but I mean, come on. I mean, would you rather have rampant political correctness? Would you rather have, trillion-dollar deficits, trade imbalances, economy that's not going anywhere because of government regulation and a socialistic
right.
point of view?
Yeah. And of course, him being a businessman and an outsider, I think people are willing to give somebody else a chance, if you will, that we've given the career politicians every chance to do what they can do. And here, well, look, here we are, right? Look where that got us. So I think people are willing to look in a different direction. And by the way, his conventions this week, each night of the convention, I should say, is going to have a different theme. And tonight's theme is Make America Safe Again. You see, this is, and as I said, you know, the brilliance of him, his campaign, is that he presents himself as the problem solver. That's the whole message behind Make America Great Again. We're going to solve some problems. It's not that America isn't great, it's but that we got some serious issues that we need to have resolved. And safety on the streets for everybody, and now, of course, police as well, is a primary issue. And you're going to have tonight, you're going to have the mother of one of the Benghazi victims. You are going to have two of the heroes who went in there and pulled the rest of them out, as depicted in the movie 13 Hours. Rudy Giuliani is going to speak tonight. And in an uncommon or unorthodox move, Donald Trump is actually going to speak tonight, the first night of the convention. He's going to introduce his wife, Melania, who is going to be the final speaker tonight. So it promises to be a very exciting time. As you put it, Roger, I think you hit the nail on the head there. And I think the safety around the convention itself is pretty secure. The question is what will happen in the rest of the city, but evidently they have 5,500 cops on duty. So they're going to have to be massive protests for them to amount to anything. And I actually predict that the protests are going to be bigger at the Democrat convention than at the Republican convention. And so anyway, we got great live coverage, as you know, if you've been listening throughout the day. The guys are all up there in Cleveland, and when we go off the air here tonight, the live coverage will resume. If you are a Rays fan, yes, the Rays are back in action tonight, but they'll be up the dial as long as the convention is going on 1520 WBZW. They'll be up the dial tonight anyway, 1520 WBZW. When the Rays come on to play at 8 o'clock. And because live convention coverage, as I said, is wall-to-wall here on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And tomorrow night, we're going to have a report from the convention from Mike Gallagher. And our man Abe Katzman is in Cleveland tonight, and so he'll be checking in throughout the week too. So we've got, even though we're not there personally, we've got some eyes and feet on the ground, so to speak, and we'll be getting live stuff actually from the convention. And so I'm excited. You know, when Romney lost to Obama, going on 4 years ago now, two or three days later, I was on the air saying, let's do it again. Let's have another election, you know. And to me, this is the Super Bowl. This is the WrestleMania of politics. This is it. This is the big cheese, right? This is the big apple. And it doesn't get any bigger than this. And especially as you were saying, as everybody feels, both of you were saying, the stakes are extremely high this time. They always are when you're talking about the presidency. But with the state of that the world is in today, the state that our country is in today, we have a president who is in either a state of denial or just outright, you know, living lies and speaking lies, that we desperately need, you know, some problem solving and quick. And the thing that I like about Trump is that he doesn't profess to have all the answers. You know, these politicians all profess to have all the answers, right? I mean, how many times
once they get elected? No, see, you got a little bit off there. When people are running for office, they want to learn, and they have quote listening tours, right?
Yeah.
But after election, if they got elected 7 p.m. Tuesday, by 7:05, they are instant experts on every last subject, whether it's potholes or sewer systems or tax policies. They're instant experts, and their IQ goes up about 20 points. Yeah. It's amazing.
Well, we see where those instant experts got us, right?
Yeah.
They got us into this mess.
I'll tell you, I think this would be something good for Trump to do tonight, though, because, I mean, I hear from especially a lot of women, because I'm talking to voters every night practically and knocking on doors. A lot of them say they're not going to vote for him. I think he really needs to show some humility tonight. I think it wouldn't hurt him to apologize for some of his things he said in the past. Really, that he's a fighter, but he goes over the line sometimes. You know, calling you, and I don't want to go through all the stuff done. But it's an issue. He needs to temper that, not to give the message up about fighting the establishment.
All right, I want to pick that up when we come back from the break, because I have some thoughts along that line too. That what we're going to see happen this week is we're going to see a different side of Donald Trump, if you will, and I think it'll address some of those concerns. We'll see. Anyway, we'll talk more about it when we get back, and hopefully you'll be there with us too. I wonder if this is a tune they'll play when Donald Trump enters the stage Thursday night. This is what they play for him when he's on the WWE, right? All right, welcome back to the show, folks. Thanks so much for being with us. We got Grant Malloy in the studio. We got Roger Franklin Williams in the studio. And before the break, Grant was talking about how he's out. And by the way, Grant was an outsider before outsiders were cool.
That's right.
Roger was just telling me about this. When you first ran for the county commission,
he challenged an incumbent. Yeah. A longtime incumbent county commissioner, and all the conventional wisdom, like all the people telling Trump that he can't make it.
Right, right.
Or the people telling 20 years on a local level telling Grant Malloy, well, you can't make it.
Yeah,
because you're not our handpicked candidate. You know, you shouldn't be. Not only are you going to lose, you shouldn't even be running in this race.
Yeah. The party insiders, and I like to talk about this later.
I was going
to
say, it's interesting because you're kind of getting the same bushwhacking this time.
It's the same thing. It's the same whether it's the city, county, state, federal. There's a group of party insiders who, like we're talking before about how they think they know everything, and they want to pick every last, you know, elected official everywhere.
Yeah.
So that, you know, basically when they come through then with their clients, with their developments, you know, it gets approved.
Right.
You know, that's what it is. You know, we want our friends so that our other friends, you know, can make money.
Yeah. It's the old good old boy and girl network now. But I want to wrap up this with the convention real quick, because you had mentioned that he's got a lot of women out there who are refusing to vote.
I'll put it this way. As I'm talking to voters, I come across a lot of older women who say they're not going to vote.
Okay.
That's what I'm seeing.
Fair enough. And Roger, you think he should just be Trump? Right.
Absolutely, I wouldn't apologize for anything. I wouldn't change a thing. Yeah, I wouldn't change. I mean, he's gotten. I think the big picture. He's defeated something like 25 other candidates to get to where he is now by doing it the non-traditional, non-conventional, mainly just being himself. Being himself, and I think he should just keep being himself.
I think that's what he's going to do. But I think what's going to happen at the convention is that we're going to get what I've been calling around here the baby face put on Donald Trump. Baby face being a wrestling term. The baby faces are the good guys. The heels are the bad guys. He's been playing a heel, okay? And you can go from a heel to being a baby face. And I think what's going to happen is starting tonight with Rudy Giuliani and then with his wife, You're going to begin to get that different side of Donald Trump. I believe it's going to continue through the week when his two sons speak, and then when he is introduced by his daughter Ivanka on Thursday. As I said last night, she's not going to introduce Donald Trump. She's going to introduce her dad, her father. Okay, and I believe, at least I believe, this is what I think. And if she does that, that will put a whole different side of Donald Trump out there that he can't do himself. Okay, he's just, it's like Roger, he's got to be himself.
He's not a nice guy. I mean, he never has been. So, I mean he's not going to try to turn himself into one.
Actually, he is a very nice and generous person. But he is meticulous, and he is demanding. But if you produce, he is also very rewarding. And as a matter of fact, I've got a list of things that B. Brian Blair sent me, things that you might not have ever heard about. That we've talked about one or two, like the time that his limo was broken down on the side of the road, and a couple stopped to help see if he needed some help. And a couple of days later, they get notified that Donald Trump has paid off. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries, and we are here live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. I am Christopher Hart, and in the studio with me this afternoon is Grant Malloy. And, of course, Grant is running for Seminole County Clerk of Courts and Comptroller. He's running against a couple of opponents. The election will be the next primary election, which is August the 30th, and that's when we'll be choosing Marco Rubio or Baruff and several other races, both local and otherwise. And you need to be registered as a Republican to vote in that Republican primary. It will be a closed primary. So if you're not, please get re-registered. You have about another week, I think, or so to do that.
Right. I believe it's July 29th, I think, is the cutoff.
Yeah. It's the last Friday in July is the deadline to re-register to be able to vote in this primary. And in early voting, I mean, voting by mail starts about that same time.
Right around the 28th.
Yep.
So the mail ballots are about to go out. And the interesting thing is, because so much is going on with the presidential race, you know, especially this election, as we're discussing.
Right.
A lot of people forget there is a primary. And this is where you have the most impact, because your vote has such an impact because so few people vote.
Right.
So if you go out and vote, it's like you got five votes because four others didn't turn out.
Right.
And this is where your school board, county commission, here you have the clerk of the court and comptroller. And as you mentioned, U.S. Senate and Congress, there's a congressional race too.
Yep.
So these are all on there, and that's where you have the biggest bang for the buck.
Yep. Your vote really does matter, and that is coming up August the 30th is the actual election. The deadline to re-register or register, if you're not, is July the 29th for that primary. And once again, I'd like you to support Grant, because I believe that he is your best choice for this position in Seminole County. And you can help him by donating to his campaign. Obviously, please get out and vote for him and encourage others to do so. And if you can help out volunteering, he goes out. As a matter of fact, as soon as he finishes the show tonight, he's going to go knock on some doors. And who knows, he might be knocking on your door tonight if you're a resident of Seminole County. But you can also come out on Saturday. You got something going on Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday we have a special treat for volunteers. We're going to have Tijuana Flats for lunch.
How about
that? Yeah, give me a call, 407-928-2397, or check out my website, grantmalloy.com. But we'll be knocking on doors, so if you'd like to have some good Mexican food after you're done, it'll all be free lunch.
I love their tostadas. You can't go wrong. All right.
You know, one thing, Chris, if I can jump in, is about this race. You know, the constitutional officer positions are kind of low profile races, and not a lot of people pay attention to them, including myself in a lot of years.
Yeah.
But this position, particular position, the clerk of court and comptroller in Seminole County, is a very important position. It's a very powerful position, and it affects literally every citizen directly. And I think it'd be good for Grant to talk a little bit about that, just how important the position is and how it impacts individuals' lives in Seminole County.
Yeah, it's the checks and balances over local government. As I told people, you have the checkbook for the county commission, so you're in charge of keeping politicians honest, keeping an eye on them, looking out for our tax dollars, looking out for waste, fraud, and abuse.
Yep.
And you oversee the courthouse operations. You're the independent person who represents when you go into file paperwork or legal work or retrieve it. You're the one that protects it, files it, and then in the courtroom, your staff remains neutral. You don't take sides. You just record what happens and stay neutral. You're the Switzerland inside that courtroom. So, you know, when it comes to myself and some of the other candidates, are clear differences. You know, I by far have the best record as a taxpayer watchdog, and by far have the best record in remaining independent and neutral, and I haven't sought the endorsement of those people who work inside that courtroom, such as the sheriff or prosecutors, public defenders. I don't want to owe anybody anything, but I am honored to have the retiring clerk's endorsement. And I want to carry on her legacy as well as improve some of the services and customer service to the people.
And Grant's website, by the way, is grantmalloy.com. Then you spell Malloy with one L.
One L.
Grantmalloy.com. And if you want to, if somebody wants to volunteer and go on the walk, where can they meet this Saturday?
Well, we'll be meeting over in Lockwood Boulevard, Oviedo, 9:30 in front of the Tijuana Flats.
Okay.
So, you know, call me, let me know you're coming so we can make sure we have enough seats at the table, too.
All right. We got Carl Jackson on the line. I want to go to him for a few minutes. He was styling and profiling this morning on Fox 35, and I thought he made some excellent observations, as he is always doing. So, Carl Jackson, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing good, Chris, and it's good to hear Grant, and good to hear Roger Franklin Williams. And it's so weird. I hear Roger Franklin Williams. His voice is so recognizable, if you will. So it's just kind of neat and weird at the same time to hear him on the average.
Yeah, I tell you.
Thank you, Carl.
Yeah.
You're weird, Roger.
he's like the foundation around here. You know, Roger's been in radio a long time, and it's great to work with guys like that. And but you're doing a great job on Fox 35. I understand you're going to be on there quite a bit over the next few weeks.
Yeah. I'll probably be on there somewhere around 10 or so times. So I'll let you know when that happens. I'll be back on tomorrow night in the 10 o'clock hour. Don't know exactly what time yet, the 11 p.m. hour. The same will be true for Wednesday. And then I'll be back, I think, on Thursday morning and Friday morning, but not exactly sure what time as of yet.
And, you know, the point that I wanted you to bring to our audience this afternoon that you made this morning was what you were talking about, hugs. Go ahead. Just go ahead. Take off.
Basically, what this what has to happen at the RNC convention is a lot of healing, a lot of uniting and galvanizing. Healing as far as past wounds are concerned, as much as, you guys know that I'm not the biggest Trump fan, but when he's next to Hillary, the guy looks like, I won't say Jesus, I won't go that far.
let's just say Samson or something, right?
yeah. But, you know, so it's just one of those things where, regardless, there has to be some healing done. And I understand that there's arguments out there that, hey, listen, the country is in danger, and that's fine as well, but I still think that there has to be some healing done. And I think that's what this convention is doing. I think that's what Mike, the pick of Mike Pence, from what I heard and my understanding was, Mike Pence was kind of in the wing, if you will, or Paul Manafort had him in mind in case the people on the convention floor, the no Trumpers, if you will, were having some type of success. They really thought that would help to quell the storm and turn people against that tide, and it seems to have worked, quite frankly. So, and then Mike Pence, let's face it, he balances people out, but he's also, and Chris, you've talked about this in the past, not necessarily with Mike Pence, but Mike Pence does what Donald Trump cannot do, and probably, quite frankly, is not humble enough to do as of yet anyway, and that's to be more of a healer, and he may be that in time, but in a sense, he's becoming that by allowing people like Mike Pence to be on the ticket, and so that has to happen. You know,
well, you know, I'm glad you brought that point up, because Trump's going to be Trump.
Yeah.
It's like Roger was saying, he kind of needs to be Trump, but sure, he needs to have people around him that bring that other sort of approach, if you will. Yeah. And that's what you're talking about with Pence. And I believe that we'll see him take, you know, he'll put the right people in the right place. That's kind of what he does. And he's according to Gingrich, Gingrich is going to have sort of a free hand to audit and overhaul the government, if you will. I can think of no better position for him. He couldn't do that as vice president. He would be too restricted.
Sure.
So I'm encouraged that Donald Trump is going to surround himself with the right people. And I think that Pence is a prime example of that. And it will lead to the healing, the unity, and hopefully the galvanizing that you're talking about.
Yeah, and I think it is, quite frankly, because I don't think it's just Donald Trump, to be frank. I think it's the RNC, too. I think Donald Trump is a lot closer to the RNC than people want to admit, and that may be a good thing for the sake of winning the election, because let's face it, you need the whole party to win the election. And, you know, when you look at Donald Trump and you look at Pennsylvania and Ohio and Florida, it's pretty exciting to see that he's leading Hillary. He's neck and neck in Ohio, point for point, the last I understood.
Yep.
But then you look at places like Kansas and Utah, which typically are red states very easily, and by now the Republican in the polls, at least, are blowing away the competition. Trump isn't doing that.
Right.
So he has to unite the party. And I got to say, I don't think it's fair to talk about the non-Trumpers or any of that. I think it's incumbent upon Trump to reach out and say, hey, listen, I realize I've done this in the past, but here's what I'm doing going forward. Mike Pence, I think, is a good start. And that starts the healing. That'll start the uniting. And then what you have to do in this convention is you have to start galvanizing the base. You have to give them a reason to vote for you. I'm sorry, but for a lot of people out there, based on pure conviction, I understand the argument. I just don't see how you can't vote for Trump in light of, you know, but for some people, we have to come to the conclusion that that's not enough. It's got to be more persuasion than, hey, man, it's Hillary. No, I'm sorry, that ain't enough.
Yeah,
people
well,
have to know that Trump is real and he's real in his position. And this convention gives him the greatest opportunity because everybody and their mother is going to be watching this thing, in my opinion. To find out what's going on.
Yeah.
And they want to know not just who Trump the man is, they want to know what Trump believes as far as policy so they can take it to the bank.
Yeah, but I think that that's what we're going to get from this convention. Looking at the lineup of speakers and then the order that they're coming in, I think that we're going to get that different side of Trump, if you will. We're going to get the, right now we have the caricature of Trump.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Now we're going to get the portrait. Okay,
yeah.
And it's entirely different picture. But, hey, great work, Carl, and I look forward to having you on the show as much as we can during this convention.
All right, appreciate it. Take care, guys.
Good to hear from you, Carl.
And where can people find your work? Because I know you're always doing
it. CarlJacksonShow.com. I got it all posted there.
All right. Thanks a lot. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with you, too, at 407-774-8255. Welcome back. That's right, folks. This convention is going to be a thriller. That's right. You got the American Adversaries. I am Christopher Hart in the studio with Roger Franklin Williams and Grant Malloy. And Eva is on the line. Let's take her call, and then we'll talk some more about Grant's campaign. Eva, thank you for calling this evening.
Yes. I have three experts to help me out. Have any of you ever heard of Carl Burgess? He's supposedly running against Marco Rubio.
I think. Are you talking about Carlos Baruff?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I know a little bit about him.
Well, supposedly, and I think this ad was put out by Marco Rubio, so that's why I'm calling you experts to help me out.
Okay.
in the ad, he supposedly voted for Chris. Now, what I want y'all to find out for me and put it over the air, because I'm sure there's plenty other people like me, when did he vote for Charlie Crist? When Charlie Crist ran for governor the first time, or when he ran against Scott?
Right. That, well, we'll have to look into that and see if we can find out.
Because I tell you, I called the Republican Party today, and they couldn't give me anything.
Well, you know, it's interesting. And was that you? That's your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll look into it, Eva.
Well, would you please put it out several times? Because I have a tendency to forget the time, and y'all are gone. Or something.
All right. Well, we'll put it out there. But
okay,
thank you.
Because it would help me. Because anybody that don't support Trump, I'm not voting for. I'm tired of this crap. I've done it for 40 years. I'm not doing it no more.
All right. I hear you, Eva. You go, girl. All right. We'll look into that for you. All right.
Now, there's Eva.
There's a woman who is going to vote for Trump.
That's
but,
true.
You know, actually, she brought up something where we wanted to go anyway, because what she's talking about is this dirty little insider business, right?
Oh, yeah.
Where there's somebody in the Republican Party who's trying to bring down Baruff because he's not an inside guy. Now, I don't want to get into a debate, Baruff over Rubio, okay? But what is going on here is sort of a nasty little game that's played. And it was played against you before, Roger was telling us earlier in the show, and it's being played again. And not just against you, but against any...
Yeah, it's played against everybody who's not on the inside.
Exactly. Go ahead and tell us a little bit
well, one of the
how
things,
it works.
Yeah, one of the things I do, and I put this on every flyer. I think there's one on that one. We have some new material
this
here.
This is an older flyer.
Yeah, yeah, and I basically warn people, and I do this when I'm knocking on doors.
This one is in the form of a PS.
Yeah, and I keep warning people, hey, be aware... There's an unfortunate history of insider political committees from out of the area attacking good candidates in Seminole County. Feel free to call me if you receive anything questionable. And when I'm knocking on doors, I point that out to people, too, because if you go back in Seminole County history, and this probably happens in every county, but there's basically this kind of good old boy network that will set up third parties. Now, it used to be mail, but it's branching into... You know, Facebook pages, blogs, and they'll set up these like names that sound official, you know, like it's a real newspaper or a real conservative organization.
Citizens for Good Government.
Yeah.
Right.
And it,
exactly. Yeah,
so
they poll test these names that they choose to make it sound like it's something that you support.
Well, it makes it sound like it's a legitimate news organization
or
a group.
Exactly.
And in the past, I mean, if you go back 20 years ago, there was a fake senior group, you know, mail came out from like the, you know, Seminole Senior Association.
There have been fake Christian groups.
Yeah, there was a fake Christian group that even went and plagiarized the exact type font, because there was a real Christian group called United Christians. So this other group these are done by political consultants that are nefarious and have bad reputations.
Right.
So they copied the type. They flipped it over and basically called it Unified Christians, so it looked exactly alike,
right.
And they endorsed the exact opposite candidate. So the United Christians that endorsed a certain slate, there was a fake copy with the total opposite people.
Right.
So this stuff has gone on. There's been people accused of going to be arrested.
By the way, this is playing on the edge. But if they do it correctly, it's not illegal. And that's part of the unfortunate part about it.
Yeah, some of this stuff has been illegal in the past.
What I mean. They're playing on the edge, and they can go over the edge into the illegal. That's why I say if they do this correctly, and this is part of the problem. The insiders do this normally the legal way, but it is a way to play real dirty politics.
Exactly. And you're going to see that happen. It's happening already. There's been attacks, you know, on me. There's been on other candidates. You know, there's one floating out there, and I don't want to get into details, but it's a blatant made up stuff. You know, it's not correct.
Yeah.
And they've done that, and then you've traced back who's doing this, and it's coming from another campaign. You know, they just, their consultant goes, sets up this fake group, or does this, and then goes
and by the way, a consultant can work for multiple candidates, right? And this is how they all kind of slush around with one another. And these consultants that that do this, I think there was an episode of The Simpsons when Burns ran for governor way back, you know, and he hired the spin doctor and the garbologist. These are the garbologist and the spin doctor.
And I love the character assassinator.
That's right. The
character, it's like a mafia-looking
guy. Exactly. They got, these guys are all wrapped into the consultants, right?
So,
and go ahead.
So it's really getting disgusting out there already. So, you know, I would just urge people, when you see these attack pieces, first of all, you know, just trash them. You know, they're not worth anything. But if you do have a legitimate concern, whoever the attack piece is on, you need to call the candidate directly if you have a question and talk to that person. Now, that's why I always put my number everywhere. I'm always accessible. But you're going to see a lot of nonsense coming out. It's already coming out. The Gibson campaign is particularly, you know, some of their spokesperson have really gotten in the gutter on some things. But it's going to happen. But call the candidate directly. Ask them a question. Because the main thing is you don't want to let this insider group manipulate the election process, because they've gone after some very good people. Like, you know, there's some people have been writing your show here that they've accused of doing things. And
falsely.
And it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
This is why a lot of good people don't want to run for office, because they don't have to go through this gauntlet of this insider good old boy network that's going to come up with stuff. And I showed you earlier, you saw on the website, how many hundreds of thousands of dollars these state PACs are shaken down. That Committee for Justice, Transportation, and Business, whatever it was called, close to $1 million, you know, $750,000. And then they funnel this to other PACs who then attack other candidates. It's very bad. It's very bad for good government.
Yeah, and the only way to counter it is to not listen to those nonsensical things and check them out if they do concern you. And, of course, when Grant's on the show here, you can call him. And if you want to call his phone number is 407-928-2397. That's for Grant Malloy. This is to help him on his campaign, or if you've heard something and you're concerned about it. And believe me, this is going to happen. I mean, the people in this campaign that Grant's running against are representatives of other people who are insiders. And just as it was 20 years ago, they don't like Grant because he's an outsider. They especially don't like him now because he was a successful county commissioner for two terms who stuck by his promise to term limit himself out, and he was a man of integrity. I mean, they are scared to Dickens of you. And so this is why, folks, we got to get him elected.
One good reason they don't like him is because Grant voted against every politician taxpayer-funded trip to Europe. So he's voting against their free trip to Europe.
How dare you do that, Grant?
And if you want to see what gets somebody angry, vote against their free taxpayer-funded trip to Europe.
And not only vote against it, but say it's uncalled for, it's not necessary, and it's a waste of money. That doesn't go over too well.
Given the state of Europe, you might want to just go ahead and send them there this year. maybe I shouldn't say that, but 407-928-2397 is the phone number for Grant Malloy. GrantMalloy.com is his website. You spell Malloy, once again, with one L. And as I said, folks, I've known Grant since I've been doing this show. And, I've been around him enough to know that he's a man of integrity and that he is a man that you will be proud to have as your clerk of courts, because he will be there representing you. He won't play this insider game. He just won't do it. That's not in his constitution. And Roger, you've known him longer than I have. Am I wrong?
You're exactly right. Genuine, authentic, the real deal. But the one thing, the way I got to know him, I think, is relevant, highly relevant. The way I got to know Grant was when he was the leader of the Seminole County Citizens Against Government Waste Group. That's mm-hmm. how he got his start, was in grassroots politics, leading the organization that's looking for and trying to stamp out waste in government. And he's been consistent to this moment.
Yeah. Did it as a county commissioner, would do it as the Seminole County Clerk of Courts and Comptroller. I'm quite confident that looking at Grant, knowing his experience, looking at the experience of the other two candidates, if you just make your judgment based on that, Grant wins hand down. And then if you add into that his experience as a county commissioner, the fact that he held true to his word. He gave up a pretty plush little gig there, folks, and he also didn't take the pension. Pretty nice little soft bed to lay in.
I'm the only one probably in the state of Florida that ever got elected and followed a promise of not taking a pension. But, you know, before I ran, I thought it was wrong for – most people don't realize these politicians, whether it's a county commission, school board, state rep, they get pensions. You know, and depending on when they got elected, it could be as low as 6 years in office, they get pensions. You know, nobody else gets a pension for a part-time job. But so I didn't want to be a hypocrite. I followed my promise and opted out. And that line itself saved over $100,000, not to mention long-term cost as well.
Over the life of your life.
So.
And by the way, Grant is a businessman also. He's an entrepreneur. So you're getting the whole package with Grant Malloy. You're not getting that with the other candidates in this race. You'll see some of their signs around. Just drive on by. Look for Grant Malloy's sign. You got the light bulb lighting up there.
That's right. Ideas, innovative ideas.
All right. Grant's going to stick around a little while longer. I hope you will, too. 407-774-8255 is the number. We'll be right
back.
Tonight, I think we're going to see quite a convention performance, if you will, from all of the speakers. And as I was saying during the beginning of the show, each night of this convention is going to have a theme. And tonight's theme is Make America Safe Again. All right, folks, welcome back to the show, or welcome to the show if you're just now tuning in. That's right, you are listening to the American Adversaries. I am Christopher Hart. In the studio with me tonight is longtime friend and colleague Roger Franklin Williams. And, of course, you can listen to Roger. You come on Wednesdays, don't you?
Wednesdays on WBZW, 11 a.m., and Sunday morning at 9 on 105.5 FM and AM 660 The Answer.
Yeah, and check his show out. Roger's a great political analyst himself. He's got a lot of political experience. He's got some really great political chops, and I think you will enjoy his shows. If you enjoy this one, you'll like Roger's show. And we also have in the studio with us Grant Malloy. And once again, Grant is a candidate for the Seminole County Clerk of Courts and Comptroller. And this is a key position for you folks in Seminole County, more so than just a clerk of courts. It's the comptroller part that I don't want to take anything away from any part of the job, Grant, but that comptroller part is unique and very important.
It is. And you might not know this, but in 2006, there was an attempt by the political
insiders
to strip that away and not allow it to be an independent office anymore, but stick it underneath the county manager, which is like the fox guarding the hen house. And I started a political committee and worked with Marianne Morris, the current clerk back then, and we educated the voters, and we got that defeated at the ballot. And they might pop that up again this fall is the rumor, which would be a disaster. So, and that also separates me from the other two candidates here, is I'm the only one that has a track record protecting this office. you know, in, as a grassroots activist years ago.
And that's why Marianne Morse, the current clerk, is endorsing you.
Exactly.
She has looked at Grant. She has looked at his two opponents, and she realizes that everything that she built in that office pretty much would be changed if Grant is not elected. If either one of these other two candidates is elected, the people that she held in check will have free reign, believe me.
Yep, she, and there is, like I said, there is a ploy, and the rumor is up there at the county building that they're going to try to strip this office and break it up again, which would be a disaster, because then you don't have that independent oversight over the politicians. Who's going to keep them honest?
Right, and I would be surprised if they don't try to do it, because it is. Because
they want those free trips to Europe, those taxpayer-funded trips to Europe.
That's right. And as I said, Grant has got the experience, and he has the right mindset to protect your money. When he was the county commissioner in Seminole County, he kept the county from overspending. When one of his opponents was a county commissioner, he had a reputation as being a big spender. As a matter of fact, he would get headlines in the newspaper. If the name looks familiar, if you've seen some of the signs and the name looks familiar, it's probably because you read about him in the Orlando Sentinel spending your money like there was no tomorrow. This is what being a comptroller is all about. Don't hire somebody who has a reputation for wasteful spending. And if you don't elect Grant Malloy, well, that's what you're going to get. And the other candidate is, you know, he's ex-law enforcement officer. And of course, you know, we're big fans of law enforcement around here. But it does not give him the experience to run this office. I'm sorry, it just doesn't.
This is not a law enforcement agency.
No, you know, it is not.
Yeah, it's more administrative, you know, keeping an eye on local government,
and in fact,
answering to the people directly. You're not walking around with a badge as clerk of the court.
And in fact, you don't want necessarily close ties between the law enforcement agencies and the clerk of courts. You don't want even the appearance of conflicts of interest. You don't want anything like that. You don't have any of that with Grant, and you got all the experience, you got the integrity, and all I can say is, folks, I just regret that I live in Orange County and I can't vote for the man, because I would be so anxious to do just that, because it is so rare that you have a candidate like this, and I'm not just talking. I mean, this is for real. If you don't believe me, ask Roger. Roger's been in politics in Seminole County a lot longer than I have. Am I wrong?
You're exactly right, and when I just want to pick up on what you're saying, Chris, you know, this is the comptroller aspect of this position is, it's a very important position to support. You need to have qualified person there, because you're dealing with the person that's a comptroller is dealing with finance. You've got to have a knowledge of finance. You've got to have a knowledge of economics and economic principles and economic philosophy. You have to understand complex financial markets.
Yep.
You've got to have an understanding of the budgeting process. You've got to have a hands-on working ability with accounting and accounting principles. So, I mean, this is not, you know, this is just something that you need to have the proper qualifications for. And Grant's literally the only one that does.
Indeed.
And the point I'd want to emphasize too, his work as a commissioner is well known, protecting the citizens' money and fighting against government regulation, excessive government, and wasteful spending. But you know, he's also been a businessman for 30 years.
Yep.
So that's his real, I think, qualifications for the position. He's budgeted. Family budget and business budget and turned a profit for about 30 plus years. That's what you want to have, is somebody who has real world experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
And being a business owner, kind of, it's very similar in a way to like courthouse operations, because you have to wear a lot of different hats. There are literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tasks that a clerk does. No one person can do them all. You have to have good people under you. You have to lead, inspire. But, you know, when you're running a business and you're doing payroll, inventory, production, logistics, you know, you're planning things, marketing, you know how it is.
Employees,
HR. It is a lot of hats you're wearing. And that translates, I think, very well.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because not only do you want to keep in place what Marianne Morse has done that makes that office unique and function so well, but you also want to streamline it and make it function even better, mm-hmm. but not fundamentally changing the duties of the office.
Right, exactly. And she's done she's one of the few counties in the state that has a profitable clerk of court operations. She really watches the pennies that the clerk's office.
You
offices,
mean she ends up with budget surpluses?
She does. She does. So about $100,000 a month. But and that has to get turned back to Tallahassee to this corporation that redistributes it to the clerks that lose money. So it's like I call it the Bernie Sanders model of
right.
state funding.
You penalize production
yeah.
and productivity. And reward failure.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
overall, another reason you want somebody that really pays attention to detail is and when I was commissioned, I was the first commissioner that requested a line item budget. I wanted to see things
you
were going
to see
on.
What you were actually spending money on.
They would give you this little flimsy little pamphlet type of thing, you know, a small little book, and they'd tell you, you know, just have summaries. I'm like, well, no. I want to see more. What's going on with these tax dollars? And they say, oh, no. No, we don't have that. We don't have a line item budget. I'm like, come on, you know, you got to have one. What do you guys work on? So, under a lot of protest, they finally produced, you know, this big phone book. Well, I guess they don't have phone books anymore, but it was like a really thick book, and you could take a look over it. But that detail you're going to need at, you know, the attention to detail, because these offices have throughout the state had about 20% budget cuts. And, you know, I don't see how you get a big spender in there and you're going to do well with the clerk of the court.
Let's put it this way. If you don't elect Grant Malloy, the Orlando Sentinel is going to be spending a lot of time and ink writing about the dysfunction at the Seminole County Courthouse because somebody that doesn't know what they're doing is running the clerk's office. And you're giggling, but I'm not kidding around. This is how it happens. We elect incompetent people, and then the Sentinel writes newspaper articles about them. That's how it works, isn't it, Roger? I mean, that's kind of what makes the world go round. Well, we don't have to do that. We don't have to go down that road. We can elect people that can do the job and people that have the integrity to watch out, to understand that they work for us and that it ain't their money. You see, this is what these other yokels don't seem to get. They seem to think that we're working for them and that it's their money to spend on brand new furniture or trips to Europe or whatever the case may be. And I'm not talking about illegal things. I'm talking about wasteful things. All right? And you're not going to get that with Grant. And so, once again, I highly encourage you to support the man. And if you can't get out and walk for him, volunteer for him, or make contributions, please at least make sure, if you are a Seminole County resident, that you vote for him. And if not, like me, I live in Orange County, but I am encouraging everyone I know who lives in Seminole County. So far, it hasn't been a hard task to get people to vote for Grant Malloy, because most people who have lived in Seminole County for any length of time remember Grant as a county commissioner. As a matter of fact, I had one guy who said you wish you'd broken your promise not to, you know, term limit yourself.
I've run across that too, and it's been fun going. I haven't campaigned, and it's been a long time, 12 years since I've been in office. So I've been out there talking with voters, and it's, you know, you open the door or they open the door. And one fellow was really awesome the other night. He's like, hey, you know, I remember you as a commissioner. And he invited him in his house. And he knew I liked music, and he sang to me like about a dozen different songs he composed. So, Mr. Meyer over in Casterbury, and he gave me a booklet of his songs.
Yeah,
he had
cool.
a lot of gospel songs.
Did they ask you to pull out your banjo?
Yeah, I'll have to come back on another night. I wasn't carrying that around with me, knocking on doors, because it's a little heavy. But and don't forget August 30th. That's the other thing. Everybody forgets this primary.
It's primary election.
Primary.
And Rubio will be running against Baruff. There's some congressional races that'll be out there as well. But it's August the 30th. You have to be a member of the Republican Party to vote for Grant Malloy. So please get re-registered if you're not already registered as a Republican. You'll have until July the 29th to do that. And then once again, please support Grant. GrantMalloy.com, GrantMalloy.com, Malloy with one L, 407-928-2222. 402-928-2397 is his phone number, 407-928-2397. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. All right, it is convention time. This is my time of year. I love this. This is like Super Bowl of politics. The general election is about ready to kick off. Of course, the Republican convention has kicked off. A lot of great live coverage going on right here on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. When we go off the air here at 7 o'clock, Larry Elder is going to come on. The guys are going to be coming to you live from the convention site. And the Rays baseball games have been moved up tonight to 1520 WBZW so that convention coverage can continue. So once again, if you're going to be wanting to listen to the Rays, you'll have to go up the dial to 1520 WBZW tonight. And that game will kick off, or first pitch, I should say, is at 8:10, I believe. All right, we still have Grant Malloy and Roger Franklin Williams in the studio. And we have Chris on the line who has a question for Grant. Chris, thank you for calling tonight. And your question, please.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, every time Grant's on, I'm glad to hear it because you always get new information that you don't get anywhere else. I had no idea that the current comptroller was doing such a good job of saving all that money, and then they get punished by having to give it to the ones that don't do as well. That's amazing.
It's a serious problem, too, because there was a constitutional amendment a few years ago called Article 5, and it changed the way the courts get funded. And there is this corporation that's set up out of Tallahassee that dictates to every clerk what their budget is for court operations. Now, court operations is separate from the comptroller office. That's funded differently. So most of the funding comes in is a certain fee on a traffic ticket or, you know, child support payment, that type of stuff. So you get to run your office, but you don't set your own budget. It gets set by Tallahassee. And just in May, they, right through the middle of the budget process, you know, you got your current budget you're working on, the state issued to every clerk in the state of Florida a 3.1% budget cut. So that's about 7% annual, you know, if you rate out for the whole year. So that's a substantial cut. Actually, the clerk of the courts are the only branch of government that I know of that's actually substantially smaller than it was 6 years ago.
It can be done.
Yeah. And it's getting to a point where it's really getting like a crisis level. And I've spent time and sat down with every clerk in the surrounding counties and, you know, hearing what's going on. But it's a humongous problem. So if you are profitable, you send it up to Tallahassee and they redistribute it to other clerks. And then the clerks association or the corporation is made up. The people that decide this, it's 100% clerks from counties that lose money are the ones that oversee the corporation. It is really wild. So,
well, that's amazing.
Hey, yeah. Hey, Chris, me and you need to get one of those jobs, right, man? I'm telling you, this is crazy stuff.
Well, I wouldn't qualify because I don't think I would run a clerk's office that would be, you know, losing either. So
yeah, exactly.
To be on that board,
you must be a businessman yourself or know something about business principles, unlike most of our politicians. Chris, do you live in Seminole County?
Yeah.
So you'll be voting for Grant?
Sure.
All right.
Well, thanks, Chris. Spread the word. I've been outspent 6-1 already by my by some of the other campaigns, so I'm needing word of mouth as much as possible.
Hey, Trump got outspent, too, and look where he's at.
That's true.
Right?
Jeb had all the money. It didn't work out
well. I think Marco Rubio got outspent to it by Kristen, still won, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
Yeah, he did. As a matter of fact. That's right. Now that you mentioned that, he did. Exactly.
He's running against, apparently, Chris supporter now.
You talk about with Carlos Baruff?
Yeah, I saw the commercial. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Chris.
Republican.
Yeah. All right.
We need more of those.
Yeah, exactly. You got it. Thanks,
right,
man.
Take it easy.
Appreciate you being out there. Thanks you for calling. And once again, folks, if you live in Seminole County, please vote for Grant Malloy for that clerk of courts and comptroller. And his website, once again, is Grant Malloy. That's with one L, grantmalloy.com. All right, we got Abe Katzman on the line. He normally comes to us live from Jerusalem every Monday, but tonight he's coming to us live from some different haunts, so to speak. Abe, how you doing tonight?
Doing just fine. Greetings from Cleveland. You're already missed here.
Thanks, I appreciate that. I wish I was up there. Had you ever been to Cleveland before?
This is actually my first time.
Are you?
And so far, I got to tell you, the city is well prepared. They're incredibly helpful with whether it's public transportation or helping people find their way around. I'm actually pretty impressed, and I got nothing wrong with Tampa, but you know they're really doing it well here. I may change that report by within 24 hours, but that's where we are so far.
All right. What about security? I know it was really tight in Tampa. Is it even tighter in Cleveland?
Yeah, it looks like it. And I haven't been here all day. I got here in the afternoon, so I haven't been able to. I can't tell you too much. I've gotten some reports from some other people. But everything seems to be working out okay. I mean, I don't know. There are protesters out here, as you'd expect. I don't know. You can probably even hear some of them in the background. But I think it's actually kind of funny. There are a bunch of people walking around with Hillary Clinton T-shirts, and I think they thought they would like be harassed, and everybody's just ignoring them. But there are protests. There are all kinds of protesters. There is somebody walking around here in a polar bear suit saying, "What will you do to save me?"
That's right. We got our true champion that helps us do that, Abe Katzman, coming to us live tonight from Cleveland. And once again, it was 4 years ago in Tampa that Lara Adams and I had the privilege of interviewing Abe for the first time. I think we interviewed you a couple of times 4 years ago at that convention, didn't we, Abe?
That's right. You held me over for a couple of segments. We were doing well. It was good radio. That's always what's important, right?
Exactly. And of course, you've helped us do that many a times since then, and I look forward to us continuing that. And I know you just got into Cleveland. You haven't really had a chance to get into the convention hall and do a whole lot, but you were just telling us that the security is tight, the protesters are there, but everything so far, you've seen no signs of violence.
No, nothing yet. I don't know if it may be that it's early, and maybe that it's not going to happen. I mean, I know that the press likes to make dire predictions about these things, but it doesn't mean it's going to happen. The same way that they always hype, the coming snowstorm as,
right.
They everybody, the world's going to end. So I think there might be some of that here also. I think there might be a lot of hype. But so far, nothing.
Well, I was going to say, when you're talking to these protesters, can you ask how much they're being paid to be there?
I think I might. I actually might toy with them a little bit and see what they have to say.
Well, we'd
don't
love
believe
to hear about it.
Yeah, I don't believe any of this stuff is not orchestrated. You know, there's somebody behind it paying somebody to agitate somebody.
I think so. I think that's Grant Malloy,
yep.
By the way.
How much is that polar bear suit guy making?
How much is he pulling down?
I don't know, but that takes commitment. To walk around, it's a hot, sticky day here, and to walk around in a polar bear suit, that's commitment. That's commitment to the cause.
Have you had a chance to sort of get a feel for is there any buzz or excitement amongst the convention goers?
I can't say that I've gotten a statistically significant sample yet of people, but so far, I think that there's some people are more enthusiastic than others. I think that from what I understand, the excitement, there was some excitement this morning because there was the unbind the delegates motion that was brought up last week and shot down, and anyway, they just there was some procedural maneuver where they're able to raise it again from the floor today, and it actually did fairly well. Somebody who I was talking to said apparently they did it by a voice vote, and he thought that it was pretty close, but ultimately it didn't succeed. And so the delegates are still down. But I think that provided a certain, there is certain buzz, certain drama over that.
You know, Abe, I pointed out to my audience last week that you were one of the few, if not the only one, that I remember way back last summer who posited the name of a fellow by the name of Mike Pence, who might actually run for president. And lo and behold, here he is. Looks like he's going to be running as vice president. Way to go. Congratulations.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
What did you see in him? What was it that you saw in him that maybe Trump saw in him?
I can't tell you exactly what Trump saw in him, but I saw, he actually came to Israel I think he even initiated this thing where he took a delegation of Indiana business people and came to Israel wanting to do business. And we had him, we actually hosted him for sort of a town hall meeting. It was very well attended. And he spoke, and what I thought was, here's a guy who's sincere, he's real, he's not pretending, it comes across. His pro-Israel credentials are not something that he puts on and takes off like a shirt. They're real and they're from the heart, but he's not in your face about this. And I just thought his manner, there was both a seriousness and an earthiness about him. And I thought it worked very well. He had a pretty solid record, and he said a lot of the right things when he was there. I thought this is a guy who, if he can work the public the way he worked with this crowd, and it wasn't split, it was just real. But I think that he really connected. So I don't know if he's going to have that sort of opportunity, that kind of luck. I don't know if it works on TV the same way it does in a live crowd, but. Look, he's got experience. He's in both Congress and as a governor. There's, all in all, a pretty solid record. Certainly a good policy orientation. I know that there are criticisms of this thing that he did or that thing that he did, but I think his all in all, the orientation is very good. And I was pretty happy with the pick. I think it's. I don't know politically whether it's the wisest thing that could have been done, but in terms of picking somebody of substance, I think from a conservative standpoint, we did pretty well.
You know, and I agree. I think it was a good pick myself. He meets the criteria that Trump laid out, the type of person that he was looking for, someone who could be president right away, someone who had congressional experience, who had that insider experience that he doesn't have, and someone that he could get along with. And their styles are so different, I think they quite complement one another. I was doing the show last night, and I couldn't see 60 Minutes, but I did see some clips, and I heard other people talking about it. And I thought that they looked pretty good together. You could tell that Pence was deferring to Trump, and that Trump was the alpha male, mm-hmm. but that Pence was comfortable with that, and I think that's going to make a lot of people comfortable with Trump as well.
I think so, and I think that there are a lot of people who have kind of been on the fence about Trump and her who have been waiting for him to, however they put it, become more presidential. Pivot more to something less outrageous, show some seriousness. And I think that a lot of those people, I don't think that this alone is going to do the trick for those people, but I think that it's a step in the right direction. And if there are more appointments or endorsements by people like this, I think it's actually going to work out pretty well for him.
Yeah, I do too. I know that, you know, tonight is the first night of the convention, but the campaign has announced that each night of the convention will have a theme, and that theme tonight is Make America Safe Again. Good idea to do themes like that?
I think that's a very good idea. I think especially this week, there's a lot of bad stuff that's been going on, and both in the last few weeks, in other places in the world, and and in America. And I think people are really worried about things kind of coming apart. And I think that, that's one area where I think that he has a distinct political advantage over any Democrat. And that is there's a certain amount of law and order credibility. And I Hillary Clinton certainly doesn't have it.
No, that's a fact. Abe, let me change up the subject here for a second while we just have a few minutes left. This coup in Turkey, what is your perspective on that? Things just don't look quite right to me, the way this is being depicted in the media, as this being, a win for democracy or something like that. I smell something fishy here. Am I wrong?
Well, the answer to that is nobody knows. There's a lot of suspicion over just what went on here. People say, people look at this. I think the number now already is up to 15,000 people that have been rounded up. They had enemies lists ready to go. It's one thing if you were just detaining the actual military people who were involved in the coup, but when they take almost 3,000 judges and detain them and purge them, that's something that was in the works already. And this is a country that has been sliding steadily away from democracy and toward an Islamic authoritarianism. And I don't know what the story was with whether the coup was real, whether he set up. I don't know who knows these things, but at any rate, no, I don't think it's good for democracy. I think it ended up strengthening the hand of the Islamist authoritarian. I think the best contrast is actually Egypt. I know a couple of people talked about that and said that this is something that Erdogan, it's a lesson that he learned when he saw in Egypt, when he saw Morsi get taken down by the military. And I guess he decided that wasn't going to happen to him. But the military in Egypt and the military in Turkey it's not a banana republic military coup. These are, especially in Turkey, this is always the enforcer of the secular constitution. In essence, it's sort of the safety latch. And on more than one occasion, they felt they had to step in when the country was going in the wrong direction. Now, Erdogan has been purging the military for a long time, so maybe they just didn't have the personnel they needed anymore. Maybe this just shows a complete consolidation of his power. But democracy, well, in a sense, he's democratically elected, but that doesn't mean that there are democratic values behind the way that he governs, quite the contrary.
Yeah. Well, when the administration came out and was supporting him so strongly over the weekend, I thought, yep, something ain't right here, that's for sure. Hey, Abe.
It's always a good barometer.
Yeah. Well, you take care of yourself tonight, and, we may not be there, but you being there for us, that's the next best thing. So we'll look forward to you checking in with us more during the week.
Okay, should be an interesting week.
It should be. You please stay safe, and we will be praying for you and Israel. And
thank you.
All right. You take care. Thank you
very much. Okay. Bye.
All righty. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries. All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. The final countdown is on. The final countdown to the official nomination of Donald John Trump to be perhaps the 45th president of the United States. All right, I still got Grant Malloy in the studio with me here. 407-774-8255 is the number. Don't forget, live coverage from Cleveland all week long. We've got our guys up there, as you just heard. Abe Katzman's there. And let's see, Mike Gallagher is going to check in on with us a couple of times during the week. So we got let's just say we got some powerful people lined up there in Cleveland. And speaking of powerful people, got Grant Malloy, as I said, in the studio here, and he's running for Seminole County Clerk of Courts. Once again, please give him your support. You can do no better in terms of electing someone who will have your interests first and foremost in their mind, as Grant has proven as a two-term Seminole County Commissioner. Grant, were you born in Seminole County?
No, but my whole adult life and young life is, since kindergarten, I've lived in Seminole County. We moved from North Miami, and prior to that, we were in Texas. So, but I went to English Estates Elementary School, Tuscola Middle School, Lake Hall High School, University of Florida, and my mom taught at English Estates Elementary School for 26 years over there.
Is that right?
Yeah, so it's funny, when I'm knocking on doors down there, people still remember Annette Malloy. Oh, yeah. You taught my son. And then my dad had a retail store called the Backyard Nursery over on Lake Howell Road. A lot of people remember him from doing that for about 25 years. So, yeah, I know Seminole County left and right. I remember everything. I remember when Red Bug in Tuscola was a stop sign, but just two stop signs. Yeah. It was straight through on Red Bug. You had to stop at Tuscola, And
is going back.
Yeah. So, and I'm not that old, but I can remember that. That was that way when I was in middle school.
Yeah. Well, once again, Grant's going to, when he leaves here, he's going to be out knocking on doors. If you would like him to speak in front of a group, church group or whatever, he'd love to do that. If you can put a decal on your car, bumper sticker on your car, like I've done on mine, or put a sign in your yard, please do that. You can get a hold of Grant by going to his website, grantmalloy.com. You spell Malloy, once again, with one L, grantmalloy.com. Or you can call Grant on his phone, 407-928-2397. That's 407-928-2397.
And don't forget, August 30th is the date. August 20th through 27th, they'll have voting at all the libraries and at the Supervisor of Elections Office in Sanford. And the mail ballots will go out next week. So this is right around the corner. So.
Yeah, it is. It is indeed. And once again, Grant is not, he's not going to be an insider. He doesn't play by that game. And but many of the other candidates in this election cycle will be. You just have to be on the lookout for them in all the races. There's going to be some mud slung around. And you just need to be ready for it. And the little insider games that are played, as we told you earlier, they played them against Grant 20 years ago, and they've pulled out the old playbook and are trying to use it against him again. But they have a hard time finding bad things they can say about Grant. That's for sure. I mean, they clutch at straws when it comes to that, and that doesn't stop them. But they'll do it. And don't let that sway you. Don't let that put any doubt in your mind. Grant is your guy. Now the convention I think is going to be one for the books. I think it's going to have elements of your regular political convention, but I think it's going to have elements of Donald J. Trump. And I think that it is going to bring a great deal of excitement. I hope you heard Carl Jackson on the show earlier. I think he's right. Trump has a huge opportunity here because so many people will be tuning in that he will be able to put, very few times do you get that second chance, first impressions, right? But I think that he will have a second chance, that people will give him a sort of a fresh look tonight and the rest of the week to sort of see what, because the convention really is, in a way, the first indication, if you will, of that presidency. You know what I'm trying to say here? Of what that person might look like as president.
And there's a different dynamic, too, here, where Pence didn't support Trump.
That's true.
In fact, endorsed Cruz, I believe it was.
That's sort of.
Okay.
As Trump said last night or today, it was the best non-endorsement he ever got.
Oh, okay.
Because it was an endorsement of Cruz, but it was pretty tepid. And Pence recognized let's put it this way. Pence is quite happy to be running with Donald Trump. And regardless of what he did before, he's fine with where he's at now. And I think when he speaks on Wednesday night, a lot of people are going to be real impressed with him. And I think that people will be real impressed just overall from this convention. And I think people are going to be impressed with Cleveland and how they handled the security for this. Ultimately, the Secret Service is in charge of security arrangements. As they were in Tampa, they are in charge of the security arrangements also in Cleveland. So they have the final say on everything. And believe me, from what I understand, they have let it be known that they have 50 caliber machine guns, and whatever it takes to keep the order, they have it in Cleveland. But as Abe Katzman kind of gave us an indication, there's no hostility amongst the convention goers. If there's going to be any hostility, it'll be amongst the protesters, and I think the police will deal with it quite effectively.
Well, and whatever protests are going to occur, it's calculated, it's planned, it's strategized,
paid for
yeah. some sort of purpose. It's kind of like you know, the fake political groups we talked about earlier. Whatever happens is going to be orchestrated. This is not going to be organic.
No,
so, and I hope the press would really try to figure out who's paying for what and what the real motivations are.
Well, I won't hold.
That won't happen.
Be holding my breath on that. Once again, the convention lineup tonight includes the mother of one of the Benghazi victims. It also includes two of the, and I believe one is Chris Tonto Peronto, the heroes that are depicted in the movie 13 Hours, who actually went in there and brought the rest of the personnel out. Also, you will have Rudy Giuliani speaking tonight. You will also have Donald Trump, I understand, is going to introduce his wife, Melania, who is going to speak tonight. And evidently, she's been working quite some time on this speech. And it all ought to be extremely interesting. Both of his sons are going to speak this week. I believe one tomorrow, one the next night, if I'm not mistaken. I'm working from memory here. I saw the list earlier. And then also his daughter, Ivanka, is actually going to be the one who introduces Donald Trump on Thursday night. And I believe that's a great choice because, you know, especially when you got Pocahontas out there, old Elizabeth Warren, you know, basically, you know, just tearing into his character and calling him names and calling him small and all of this thin skin and everything. She is the perfect one, I think, to counter that. And I believe she's not going to introduce Donald Trump so much as she's going to introduce her dad, her father, to us. And I believe she's going to give a whole different perspective as to the type of man that he is, as we are going to hear throughout the week. So I think this will be it will be a successful convention, and it will accomplish what Carl has dubbed a hug, and that is to heal the party, unify the party, and galvanize the party. And Carl's right. It's up to Trump to do that. There are some hurt feelings out there, and it's up to him to bring them around, and hopefully he will get it done this week at the convention. If not, certainly get the process started. Grant, look forward to having you back again soon to talk some more about your campaign. Give us an update on how things are going. I'm hearing good buzz out there. I hope you are too. And certainly, folks, please get out and vote. As Grant was saying, this is a primary election, and it means that your vote is going to loom large because a lot of people just won't vote.
That is very true, and I sure appreciate you allowing me to come on and share what I'd like to do and what's going on. That's been a real blessing. I appreciate your support. It means a lot.
Well, I wish I could give you my vote, too. And
you can still move up. There's still time to register.
I tell you what, it's getting more and more appealing to do just that. But once again, grantmalloy.com and The Walk. Again, The Walk this Saturday.
Sure, we're walking this Saturday, 9:30 over at the Tijuana Flats on Lockwood Boulevard, just north of Mitchell Hammock. And we'll be hitting some homes over there. And then afterwards, we'll have some free Tijuana Flats for the volunteers. Last time we had a really good turnout over in that area. So it's good food, and it's fun talking to voters. It's my favorite part of campaigning. I don't like being around politicians, but being around voters and being, you know, it's just a blast out there. I've been having a great time.
I hear you. I hear you. By the way, Nostradamus wants to know if he gets 10 of those Tijuana Flats tacos if he walks.
I think
he's referring to that's what he got when we did the taco eating contest.
Nope. Well, he's been helping me out, knocking on doors. Yeah. Not Nostradamus has. So he can have all the tacos he wants.
By the way, our next taco eating contest is coming up September the 7th. We'll tell you more about that tomorrow. And don't forget the last blast of Summer Festival, Family Festival, at the Tijuana Flats in Winter Springs. Going to be a lot of fun. That's August the 5th. You're all invited. Great fun for the whole family. It kicks off at 6 o'clock with children's entertainment. Wendy Benson playing the guitar and singing starts at 7 o'clock. And that Winter Springs Tijuana Flats is a perfect outdoor setting for festival things
very
like
pretty
this.
There.
It's just great. And that's going to be August the 5th at Tijuana Flats, Winter Springs. That's Tuscarora Boulevard and 434. Well, we're leaving you with Cleveland Rocks tonight.
Cleveland Rocks.
Night, everybody.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer. WORL. Altamont Springs, Orlando.